And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's who we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. We're going to have a fucking party today. Today is going to be like the party episode. You could put this on. You could fucking put this episode on in the background of pretty much any raucous party that you ever have in your home. Could be a cocktail party. Could be a listening party, a podcast listening party. Or it could just be like you DJing at a club and you're just like fucking run that dispatches tune. And this is the episode to do. This is our party fucking podcast today. We're going to be partying with a bunch of dudes on the show today. And I feel like the party vibe is like imbued in me today. You know, it's like winter time. It's time. This is the time to party. Summertime, you want to be alone, sitting in the sun, just chilling. Wintertime, you're cold. You want to be with your friends, keeping you warm. Preferably with your pants on or off. Honestly, it's a party. So, like, fucking get crazy. On the side note, I feel like anybody who uses the word raucous is automatically not doing anything raucous, right? So, like, that's the irony of that word. But an even deeper irony, I think that that word itself is kind of a fucking cool word. Like, it's a kind of a tough word, but it just gets this bad rap, right? Because it's a nerdy fucking word that no one really thinks of, except for me when I dropped it earlier. Anyway, don't worry. I'm going to cut all that shit out. We're going to have a fucking raucous episode today, the party episode. Some good friends of mine and former co-host of this podcast with me, Philip Lentz, and his bandmates in World War IX are stopping by the studio. We're going to be talking to them about really heavy issues the entire... No, I'm just kidding. We're going to be talking about partying. We're going to be talking about excessive drug use and songs that are meant to indulge your every sense. We're going to be talking to them about the new World War IX album. They just put it out on 7-inch. No Room for Improvement. That's the new album. That's the name of the new album. We're going to talk about their new tunes. If you haven't seen the video for it, I think the video is going to be out soon if it's not out yet. The song is called Have You Seen My Drugs? That's not me asking that. That is the name of the fucking song. So don't like cut that piece off and be like, oh, John Steele's looking for his drugs on the fucking podcast. Dumbasses, that's the name of the song. So once you get your shit together, that's one song, Have You Seen My Drugs? And the other song is I am Not My Problem. And there's parentheses in there. We'll have Phil explain all the parenthetical notations that have been put into this album. There's a lot of grammar going on in this tune. So we're gonna have that fully broken down for you. We're going to talk about the album. We're going to talk to them about their incredible new video that I have seen, that you will see shortly if you haven't seen it yet. They just did an album release January 13th, the other day, here in New York City. So the album is fresh out and fucking ready for you to pick up, and we're going to be talking about it the entire podcast today. We're going to talk about some other bullshit. You know, we're just going to fucking get stupid. Maybe we'll get into some crazy stories. Phil and I have been down the road a few times doing some crazy shit, so maybe some of that will come up. We're also going to be talking about their incredible comic book. So people may not know this, but World War IX is not only an incredible band, but Justin Milkman is also the guitar player who does a ton of fucking really great artwork. He's done G.G. Allen comic books. And when I was in L.A. once, I was at the Museum of Death. And they have a G.G. Allen room at the Museum of Death, if you can believe that. And it doesn't smell like shit. It's actually like a neat, nice room. It's not a bathroom. It's a fucking like, it's an actual room at the Museum of Death in L.A. And there's a fucking whole section dedicated to Justin Milkman's comic book about G.G. Allen. So Justin is an incredible, at least G.G. Allen renowned artist, which I feel like is bigger than the world. That's like universe style shit. And he does a great comic book about World War IX. And the new issue I have in my hands, and I think I'm the first one to have it, not to toot my own horn there, but I think I am before even the band has it. And it's fucking fantastic. I'm super excited about it. And I think you will be too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the album. We're going to talk a whole bunch of shit. And I think you're going to appreciate it. So I want to say a huge thank you to John Kleinman, the drummer of World War IX, Justin Milkman, the artist and guitarist for War War Nine and Filthy Phil Lentz, the Filthy Phil Lentz, the singer for War War Nine, for getting down with me today and talking to me about all this great stuff that they're doing. I also want to send a couple other thank yous out. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing us every Wednesday night on their incredible programming. I want to thank everybody out there who keeps on listening to this show. You may have noticed that we are doing a few less shows lately. We are actually going to be going for a little bit, doing one show every 2 weeks for a little period. I am super busy with a bunch of other projects that I'm working on, and I just don't have time to put things up as much as I'd like to. So we're going to be easing up for a couple of months, doing a show every couple of weeks. But it's going to be up on dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can rate us. You can check us out. We will have constant new updates, and sometimes I will do it every week too. If I can throw a shorter episode up every week, it might not be an hour every week, but maybe I can throw up a little shorter episode. So there will have constant stuff coming out. Make sure you subscribe to Dispatch from the Underground on iTunes. You can do that right on our website. Let's get right to it. We're gonna listen to a tune, and then we're gonna get talking to John, Justin, and Phil from World War Nine from New York City. So hope y'all dig it. Get down. All right, before we get to the episode, I want to play a tune for you. All the tunes that I play today are going to be about content that I disagree with. Maybe I shouldn't put it that way, because this first song is not exactly in that camp. But they're going to be singing about substance abuse. We'll say that. They're going to be singing about substance abuse in some way. I'll try to stretch that out to be able to include three songs that I can put up with. This first song is from a great band in New Jersey that I think should be playing every show with World War Nine. These guys, World War Nine, and this band, Hana Lee from New Jersey, they put on incredible shows. It's like a party every time you go to the show. The same thing with the last band. So all three of these bands are also, they're singing about overindulgence and maybe drugs, and they're also huge party bands. So this is like our party episode. That's kind of nice, because I feel like the episode's going to have a little bit of a party vibe. We're all friends here, so I think we're going to have a little bit of party. So it was a little party for your ears right now. Here's Hana Lee from New Jersey doing a cover song, Sex and Cigarettes. Get down.
Turn it up, get the radio on.
I love how angry you really are right now.
Yeah.
It is killing
simmering.
You to not
simmering.
Have a microphone in your yep. hand.
What do you mean?
Right
I can't hear
under
you.
The surface.
No one knows what you're saying.
Right.
Oh, this is great.
Perfect.
Now I just got to anticipate what Justin's going to say.
Right.
It's fine. It'll be just like it shows. I'll carry his gear also. It's fine.
Yeah. Just say the same thing over and over.
Yeah. What?
Okay, I'm sitting here in the Dispatcher studio with World War IX, which is Justin, John, and
My name is Philip.
I'm sitting here with Filthy Phil.
Did we start?
Yeah, we're starting. That's it.
Nice. Oh, here
starting.
We go. This yeah. is so cool. Right.
We've been recording for hours, guys. So hope you're okay with the wow, Nazi stripper show.
We haven't been recording for hours. We've been setting up for hours.
It's been maybe 45 right. minutes exactly.
Don't be bitter, Phil.
Yeah, we had to cut Phil's mic.
Swallow that
was...
bitter, Phil.
Phil was fucking with the mic. Yeah, he's never done a podcast before. Not a professional one, so he doesn't know how it goes.
Professional? You get a W-9?
I can cut this whole channel
W-9.
Out now.
W-9.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
Phil, how about you?
This is like bad for asking.
This is bad couples counseling. So how are you doing?
How are you feeling?
We're going to tell Nazi stripper stories the entire episode.
Oh, sounds boy. Good.
We have dueling Nazi stripper stories. I could tell you another one later about that, actually.
Sounds
I forgot
good.
To tell you before. Yeah, so you guys have a new record out.
Yep, we got a new 7-inch, 2-song record out. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why did you guys ever put a 12-inch out? A little too much.
Fuck that. That's boring.
This is hard.
Yeah,
it's
come
too,
on.
It's too big for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Phil, it's still not a video podcast, Phil. It's still not a video cast. No one can
what
see
you
your
mean?
Face.
You're missing out.
Phil's face while we talk about this, he's just so bitter that he does not get a microphone. So he's just gritting his teeth.
I'm choking on jokes.
It's like the good old days.
Yeah, right.
I'm going too fast for you? Want to slow down a little
for
bit?
For me, no. I can get it anytime.
Here, Phil.
12 inches, 7 inches. Yeah. And I'd be sitting here and
Justin,
everybody's agreeing.
Okay,
all right.
John does not want to talk, and he's just tired of this shit. Yeah. We've been here for fucking 3 hours trying to set this thing up in the first place. He's got places to go. When you
Fine.
Talk, John, no one knows what you're saying because Phil's hogging the mic.
Okay.
Does this happen at shows sometimes?
Always.
Phil's.
Isn't it amazing how few venues have more than two microphones?
I love the sound engineers when they're like, how many mics do you need? Well, we need 4 mics. Ooh, yeah. Mm.
Like, what are you guys, the Beatles?
Did you bring your own?
Yeah, I happen to have my own. They're like, geez, we're still going to have a problem. We don't have enough inputs. I'm like, well, why the fuck did you ask me if I brought my own then?
I think we used to bring our own, and then we would always leave them at the shows. So.
Right. Someone got drunk and left the mics again.
Yeah. I think it might have a couple of your mic cables.
Yeah, there's World War IX mics strewn all over New York City.
Yeah, you guys should have labeled that shit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think Don Pedro's might be mostly fueled by World War IX cables.
Did you hear that Don Pedro's is closing?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't they just have a show there a couple nights
ago?
Yeah,
I saw a little something about that. Yeah. Oh.
That's crazy.
You heard it here first?
Yeah. It's very sad, isn't it?
Well, do you know why they're closing?
Probably because the business is booming and all the bands, whenever bands play there, they bring hundreds of people. I think that's it.
They've been doing really well, actually.
I know. Well, what happened was...
Not like when Phil and I were doing shows there.
Yeah, they were doing so. Yeah, it was Don Pedro's that was doing poorly.
We had one night at Don Pedro's that was successful, and like 2 years of doing shows there, like monthly shows there, And every time I would come in there, the guys who run the bar, they'd be like, oh shit, you remember that time you guys killed it?
Yeah.
You guys gonna have another night like that? I'm like, probably not. No, probably not gonna be that show again.
No, I think we told them yes and then made excuses for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. We got through 2 years of that though, Phil. I feel like we got 2 years of riding on that one show that we did really well.
We played one of your shows that was good.
It must have been the one. That was it.
There was one that was real good.
Yeah.
That one show?
Yeah, yeah.
That one show was good.
Yeah.
I can't.
It wasn't the rap and punk show. That wasn't a real good
that
show.
That was a great idea.
That was a great idea.
It was a great idea.
You fucking guys are dicks.
We saw shows like that on tour.
Phil's face during this is impossible.
Why?
I cannot continue this interview with
because
you.
Because I'm so handsome?
It's because you're looking down. You're just like,
I'm listening.
I fucking hate my life. I'm back in this fucking podcast again. I can't get away from this stupid podcast.
For the record.
Wait, this is a podcast? I thought we were live on the radio.
Yeah.
Where's my lawyer?
I thought I finally got you guys together to give me an intervention.
Oh. Yeah, it doesn't count. It's not an intervention if you force it.
Oh, okay.
I want everyone to get together and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Yeah. Is everyone free next Sunday?
Yeah, we need more than a day, though. That's a whole week tour right there.
It's 2 p.m. I thought we'd get started early. I have Seamless on my phone now. We can get food later.
Sounds good.
So we don't know why Don Pedro's is closing.
No, not that I know. Like I said, it's probably because the business is doing so well.
Yep,
man,
business
it's like
is booming.
The only fucking bar left, man.
Yeah. Well, just so you know.
St. Vitus and Don Pedro.
Just so you know, I only saw it once. Lucky 13 is doing good. Hanks
Lucky
is doing
13.
Good. Otto's is doing good. Yeah, there's plenty of places to play if you're into scum fucking slimy ass awesome places.
You know why they're probably not doing well, Phil? We stopped doing shows there.
There you go.
Right.
More rap rock shows.
And Brooklyn Borough, right, is no longer there.
They left before we did.
Yeah. No, about the same time, really. So can you still get those burritos somewhere, Phil? Do you know if you can get those burritos?
You can. They're available in the city. Brooklyn
fucking,
Borough. Somewhere
I knew
in Brooklyn.
You know where to get those.
No, what happened, wasn't Grand Victory closes, and then shows started going to Don Pedro's.
Yep.
And now I hear Don Pedro's is closing.
Yep. And
but enough about Don Pedro's. Yeah. Don't we have a new record out?
Yeah, right.
Can we talk more about Don Pedro's?
Okay, all right. Sorry, don't drop bombshells on me if you guys don't want to talk about him. I didn't know that should
Who's
was
Don Pedro?
Totally.
The Italian guy.
I think it's
guy.
The guy who announces
hey,
on Saturday Night Live.
Hey, Dom. Dominic hey, Pedro.
Pronounced Don Pardo.
Don Pardo.
Yeah, you guys probably didn't know that.
Don Pardros.
All right, let's talk about. We're gonna cut. Don't worry, Phil. I'll cut all this out. Don't.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
Don't worry, Phil. He gets
we're
all
on a roll here.
Phil gets
Why
all
that role plays close.
Phil gets all upset when we do funny things that he's not directly included with.
If only he had a mic. Oh no, he is holding.
I'm holding it for John.
Now he has to hold the mic for me.
All right, listen. Totally. Everyone expects in this podcast is organized and like in a linear, focused way. So
dude,
if you guys could just keep focused, God, it's like fucking wrangling cats with you fucking guys.
Focused.
That's all the cocaine Catherine's. We're not doing.
Speaking of your impossible. To deal with bullshit.
What?
You guys have this.
Yeah,
no,
Justin.
So the
Phil.
So the new album's called No Room for Improvement.
Yeah. What happened was while we were writing the songs for this album, which is two, while we were working on the new material for this new 2-song 7-inch, we realized that the two new songs were so good that this band, who's been together for over how long has this band been together?
Over 6 months,
way too long.
Like maybe 14 years, no joke.
Literally since
years.
Phil was 12 years old.
I think that's about right.
It's yeah,
horrible. You're
that's
right.
A nightmare. Yeah. We realized with these two new songs so are so good that after 12 years, there's no room for improvement for this band.
That's funny.
So we cannot get any better. Believe it or not.
So, like, what's better than a 12-carat diamond? But
14 carats.
What's better than a 14-carat diamond?
There's
right,
20
15 carats.
There's no room for improvement with this band.
No room.
Yeah.
It's like Beverly Hills Cop. Why make it 2? It's already perfect.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So like what happened was we just wrote 2 great songs and we needed a stupid title and it just made sense because we're at the peak of our game.
Right.
Which is I remember hearing an interview with Gene Simmons about Made in the Shade. And he said the same thing.
We're at the peak of our career.
Yeah. So this is like our let's put the X back in sex.
This is like our Made in the Shade.
Yeah, this is our Made in the Shade moment. We're delusional, which is that's the joke, man. The cover,
look
the cover.
Any happier?
I don't get the references.
The cover.
Look at Phil. He's looking at the floor.
The cover.
I know the entire time.
I usually
time,
do because I'm listening.
Time. Yeah, the cover, entire time.
The cover to the record is a guy who's hideous, and he's staring in the mirror and sees a beautiful man staring back at him. It's that he's clueless, that he's actually hideous, and that's where we are.
Right.
We think we're at the top of our game, but we probably sound as terrible as always.
It's our Made in the Shade. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, I will say that I think it sounds consistent.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thanks.
Uh-oh.
Thanks.
I feel like...
I like that.
I feel like you guys have kept it consistent, you know...
That's what everybody
My dad
says.
Used to always say about Burger King. It's like, you know, Burger King's great because it's always the same. McDonald's, you never know what you're going to get. But Burger King, oh my gosh, they're so consistent.
They're the king of the king of burgers.
Right.
We're totally going for consistency.
I feel like you guys are the Burger King of fucking punk.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's pretty cool.
That. Yeah. I'll take that.
And Phil, yeah, my dad would be proud.
Great.
Yeah.
So.
Consistency is a three-syllable word, by the
way. I do think... that putting out shorter albums is the way to go, though. I think it's impossible for
our next album will be one song.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, there's no room for improvement on the two-song EP. Yeah. Yeah, there, what are you going to do now?
There's a Johnny Winter record called Second Winter, and it's a double album, right? So I buy it. And I,
why?
And I'll tell you why. And I open it up, and it's three sides. And I'm, as a kid, I'm like, huh, I didn't know you could do this. So, you know, it's a record.
It's a triangular record?
No, it's three sides. It's
How does a, it it's have a, three sides?
Two records, and it's only three sides. And on the fourth side is blank. And I'm like, huh. I didn't know you could do that. I guess Johnny Winter was huge at the time, and he's just like, nah, man, I only got three sides of material. And they're like, genius, Johnny!
I know, what was it? I think Frank Sinatra maybe put out a double album, and the third and the fourth side was just applause.
Wow.
Applause.
Right. Now that
just fucking
is balls.
We should do that at shows.
We should totally do
That's
that.
That's amazing.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Like how some people do samples during their set, we could do that applause after.
Yeah, applause.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's what we'll call it. Yeah. Hey, are you guys done yet?
No, no, we got
did you hear the cheering yet? No, we're not done, motherfucker.
Right. 2.5 minutes left.
Yep. Pipe in our own applause.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, listen. Right. Let's talk about substance. This is Dispatches. We need to get to some substance here.
Okay.
Yeah, stop fucking around.
Oh, so we're going to talk about Edgar Winter now.
We're going to talk about...
Let's get serious.
These songs are politically very poignant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that?
I watched a video that you guys did.
Oh, cool.
For Have You Seen My Drugs?
Which version did you get?
I got the version where you look like an asshole, Phil. Oh, that's probably both of them.
That's probably both of them, yeah. Safe assumption.
I thought it was hilarious. I think that's the best video you guys have done.
Thanks.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do
and
we.
And I'm not in it.
I would say so.
So maybe there's a corollary too.
Maybe.
It's our best. It's our best. It's our best video since the one you were in.
Post Joey Steele.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Post Joey Steele era World War IX. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't we have Exhibit AA after that one? I think that one's pretty good too.
Oh God, that's our a great video.
Yeah, it's in that vein. Anybody that's familiar.
Yeah, so the guy who's making our videos is Johnny from Citizen Blast Kane, and everything that dude touches is comedy gold.
He is fucking genius.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's a genius, and he's fun and easy to work with, and for some reason he doesn't want to put his name on the director credit, but that's who's doing it.
I'm pretty sure it has to do with non-VHS releases.
Maybe.
I think it genuinely has to do with the fact that he only wants to be associated with the VHS release.
Huh.
That's a very serious possibility. But I thought this was the best video because, thanks for asking, guys.
Yeah.
Just lobbing it back at me. Jeez, Joey, why do you think this is the best?
Why do you think this is the best one?
That's a good question. I'll cut out all the other stuff.
Sure,
and cut right to that. Thanks,
mm-hmm.
John. Thanks thanks for playing with me, John.
I got you.
Whoa.
I'll cut that out too. Don't worry.
Phil, let me just hold the mic for you.
Yeah.
Really not
You're looking exhausted,
Phil. Not contributing.
I think it's the most political one you've ever done. You guys went political on this.
Well, the best part is we didn't write it with that in mind. That was John's idea. The song was about somebody that freaks out because they lost their drugs, period.
That's my idea.
And that John said, good God, we just elected Donald Trump. That's why the guy's looking for his drugs.
I think that was great.
Good
Super
idea,
smart
John.
Smart idea.
Yeah.
I also think it would be a good idea for us to get into the drug selling business with this fucking reality. I feel like we would do a lot better if we could sell some more drugs post-Trump.
So people could deal with this.
Yeah, people are like, Trump is elected, they're going to see this video, they're going to think, geez, I should do drugs.
Right.
Who should I call? Dispatches in World War IX.
Fine.
It sells itself.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys could sell a bag of PCP with this album.
Do you need a charming and charismatic spokesperson?
Yeah, well, we
this?
Got one of those.
I can do that well.
Not without a mic, you can't, Phil.
It's true.
Damn it. I thought it was great. I think it was, in the end, I could tell John's little touch at the, I feel like this was probably John's touch, because I feel like John has the tact, maybe. Is that fair to say in this band?
John totally Kleiman, agree. Our drummer, yeah. Or Johnny from Citizen Blast?
Oh, John Kleiman, your drummer.
Okay.
No, I know John.
Johnny has no tact.
I know America, right. Bombada doesn't have any tact.
Right.
I know John from Citizen Blast is tactless.
I have boatloads of tact.
I feel like at the end where you scroll across the bottom of the screen really quickly, the guitar is your drug.
Mm.
Was that John's idea?
I would love to take credit for that. It absolutely was not. And that was made. It was made up. We had no ending.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to, the sun was setting. We were losing daylight. And
is that true?
That's
totally.
What they say on movie sets. Right. The sun was setting. We were losing daylight, and it was like, well, how are we going to wrap this thing up? There was talk of throwing me out of a window. Mm-hmm. There was talk of running down the street.
Yep. Like, how are we going to end this thing?
So no one had planned this video prior to you coming in.
Well, no, the plan was to run through a home looking for drugs.
Okay,
that was right. The plan.
Right. We usually, when we're doing these, we have sort of a loose idea of what things are going to be like.
Taking a dump in a burrito, you know.
Right, yeah. Right. You remember.
Yeah, that was fun. No, I like that. Right. That was great. No. I feel like there was always, in the past when you guys did these videos, there's always meticulous planning. Like, we're going to be at Otto's. It's going to be there at X time. We need a fake
mustache. We're going
mustache.
To be drinking.
Right, we will be drinking all day and all night. Yeah. Thoughtfully planned, organically executed.
There you go.
So how did you come up with this idea? Whose idea was it? That's what I want to know.
It was the band's idea.
No, there was someone. There was one person.
You mean with the guitar?
With the guitar.
Oh.
Maybe it was Johnny's. I don't rightly remember.
I want to know who to thank
for
this.
All right, let me think about this.
Was it your idea? Justin politely being like,
was it your idea?
I don't think anyone's so. Was.
You can say
he's
it was your idea.
He's elbowing Phil in the fucking chest.
It was my idea to find the guitar, and the guitar is my drug. Yeah. Johnny's idea was to scroll the thing on the bottom.
So it was a
Johnny
mishmash
yeah.
Johnny from Citizen Blast came, and Justin, and everybody else is just in your way for making this good thing happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I love everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Justin, you can say it was your idea.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
It's fine.
I'll pick up the guitar.
Phil's never been so happy, and I have a mic.
I know. All the good ideas.
Phil, do you take umbrage with my story?
It was my idea.
I would never disagree with you, Justin, or get in between you and John and arguing about something. I think you're both right.
Oh, am I
great.
Wrong?
Thanks.
Am
no,
I wrong?
No, it was your idea. Fine.
Because I don't care. fucking Earl still thinks he thought of the Jones Kings. Give me a break.
Totally.
Earl.
The idea for that band?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Jones Kings in the second part of this podcast, which we're going to get to in a minute. But I want to talk, who writes the lyrics of these songs?
Phil,
no way. I don't believe
that's
it.
True.
You write the lyrics to these songs?
Yes, that's me. I did it.
Let him hold the mic.
Yeah.
My
turn.
I can see you coming up with the second song on this album, I'm Not My Problem.
Yeah, totally.
Or you could just change some of these pronouns to I'm Not Your Problem or Any Problem or The Problem.
I'm Not Anybody's Problem.
I can see that, but I don't feel like...
Justin, I thought you wrote the lyrics to the first song. You didn't?
I came up with the concept.
Have you
seen my drugs? We've worked well together with this concept, you and me, Phil, where I will come up, or you've come up with the title, and then Phil writes the words. Hmm. So it starts sometimes with the title.
Conceptual.
Yeah.
They give me work to do.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. Yeah. Really nice. Really nice done. Talk about the second song here, Phil. I'm Not My Problem.
Yeah. It's about... myself.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, thank you,
Phil. I'm thinking
cool.
about it.
Anyway,
it's such a big concept.
I'm just going to loop that for fucking 10 minutes.
I don't, yeah, that'd be great. Send it to me. I'll fall asleep to it.
Yeah. It's,
It's about me. I like the title of it because it's a play off my war and how aggressive and poignant that song is and how important that song is. And this song is kind of the opposite of that. In as much because we have a lot of material that is about drinking and drugs and having fun, and
I mean all of the material is about drinking and drugs and having fun.
But it might be about drinking and drugs, but it's not about having fun.
It's a popular misconception. It's about thinking you're having fun, and it's about the day after. Most of the songs that are about drinking are primarily about drinking to excess. To the point of self-recrimination.
Right, the comedy of self-destruction.
There you go.
I think when we're all yelling, let's get fucked up.
Yeah.
It is funny. I do enjoy that. Yeah. I actually enjoy that. And people will turn to me when I'm at a World War IX show and be like, Joe, you're yelling that? I'm like, it's funny. It's pretty fucking funny.
That's the point.
But also, the person standing next to me, they don't get why I'm singing that because they don't think it's funny.
Right.
Because no, they like, just think it's a great song. Yeah, and they're happy to sing along.
Fucked
yeah.
Up. Yeah.
Well, because it works on two levels.
Yeah.
It does. It works on Let's Get Fucked Up, and it works on Good God, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Right. Why am I singing this? Why am I chanting this in right. a bar?
Do you get upset, Justin, when people are like, when they take it seriously?
I don't care.
When they misinterpret the songs?
No, I don't
I know Phil does.
Oh, he misinterprets all of them.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I think the only thing that would upset me is if people think that we're just a party band and it's just songs celebrating drugs and alcohol, because we're not. We're not celebrating drugs and alcohol. We're celebrating the huge mistakes we all make doing drugs and alcohol.
Would that be like Black Sabbath coming out and being like, yo, they're all about God. Songs are all about really about Jesus.
No, ICP did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we know, Phil. We know you're a juggalo. Get out of here.
I would never deny it.
No kidding.
Yeah. Bloop. Motherfucker.
With a B. B-L-O-O-P.
You guys should play The Gathering.
That would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You know what The Gathering is,
I don't
Justin?
Think I know what that is.
Yeah, oh, it's a juggalo fest.
Seriously. Do you not know what it is?
I don't think I know what it is.
You got to listen to more fucking
dispatches.
It's
the Insane Clown Posse's gathering where they...
The family.
Well, I think let's let Phil, actual Insane Clown Posse fan, say what a juggalo party is.
I don't understand this at all.
It's not a juggalo party. So the fans of ICP call themselves juggalos.
ICP is the Insane Clown Posse.
Right.
Those are the rap guys that dress like clowns.
Correct.
Okay.
And they're fans...
Well, they're one of them. I think there's more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they have a family of performers that they've inspired as well.
Okay.
And there's different things. And it centers around this thing called the Dark Carnival.
Okay.
Which the Juggalo Gathering Dark is as Carnival. Close as the
I'm
Dark
listening.
Carnival will be in real life that you can get there.
Okay. What did you call it? The Juggalo? Yeah.
Juggalo
can
gathering?
I get back to talking
gathering,
about
gathering
Johnny Winter's
juggalos?
Records?
Yeah, okay. Right.
No, okay, wait, I want to hear about this. I want to know about this.
And it's a lawless territory with people dressed up as clowns that do drugs.
American
and
Juggalo.
And
watch it.
There's a documentary we'll send
yeah,
you.
American Juggalo.
So
you were
interested in this stuff?
Yes.
Interested? The man's a full-fledged juggalo. He was one fucking, he was one eye painting short of a fucking, of being a family and having a fucking Hatchet Man tattoo right across his chest.
I never had a Hatchet Man tattoo on my chest.
You're kidding.
I had the face paint and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and your band. Yeah.
No.
There's a juggalo in this
band. There's a juggalo in World War IX.
It was early in my life.
The politics of personal destruction.
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. There's one of them among us.
Don't worry, Phil. I'll cut this whole thing out.
No way.
Right. You can leave it. I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed to be a juggalo?
I'm not active anymore, but it's one of those things. Like
right.
Once
he's
you're
in
juggalo,
remission.
You're always a juggalo. Yeah,
the virus is still there. It doesn't mean he's got a sore on his lip.
We call it the sickness in juggalo land, though.
I find that.
No way.
It's the sickness. Disturbed, World War IX, ICP, The Gathering.
Oh, that'd be great.
2017.
Now that pisses me off.
Yeah. Don't drag us into this.
I would do it in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
You know how many ladies y'all could get down with?
Oh, us play the festival?
Yeah.
Sure, of course I play the festival.
Any gig, no problem.
No, listen, I play anytime, anywhere.
Fucking
that's
Phil
true.
Get you into that shit. You're down with the clown till you're dead in the ground, bro.
I don't know who to contact, honestly. If any juggalos out there want to have World War IX play, shoot us a message on Facebook, or you can tweet us at World War IX. We have World War IX on Instagram. I'm Filthy Phil on Twitter.
I'm totally uncomfortable with all
World
of
War
this.
IX. World War IX, Disturbed, ICP, The Gathering 2017. Get down with that. Bloop!
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little break and let's listen to a tune from World War IX. What do you guys want to listen to?
Let's listen to Have You Seen My Drugs?
That's right. It's a song based on real life.
It is 1 minute and 34 seconds.
Is it based on real life because you have a really dirty room, or is it based on real life because you're looking for your drugs?
It's based on real life because I'm so good at projecting my consciousness into the situation that whether I've lived it or not, because I don't want to admit to ever losing my drugs, because I can't say that that's happened.
You don't want to admit that, yeah.
Because if I were one to have drugs, I would know where they were all the time and how much was there. I would, if I was the type, keep very meticulous track of my drugs. So I had to imagine for this song what it would be like to lose my drugs. If I can, I think I did a really great job.
It's also about just being in dire need of drugs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here it is from the fucking new album. You can get this on World War IX's Bandcamp page, worldwar9.bandcamp.com. No Room for Improvement is the name of the album. And let's listen to it. What the fuck is it called?
Have You Seen My Drugs?
Are you asking me? Is that the name of the song?
No, no, I know exactly where they are. I brought them with me.
Got a regular camera over here.
Have you seen my
Do you want some, Joey?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm all caught up on that. Thanks. All
right.
But the tune's great. So let's get that. All right, get that.
Hey, man, can you help me out? I lost my drugs and I don't know how. I thought I had enough to share with everyone. Have you seen, see my drugs? Have you seen my drugs? Seen my drugs? I lost all my stuff.
Now we're recording, so no more stripper stories.
I don't have any.
We never even went to a strip. We never went to a strip club for your bachelor party.
No, thank God. Strippers make me sad. It's like going to the zoo.
Strippers make you sad?
Yeah, like going to the zoo because it's like when you see the animals behind the cage, and they're just so sad, laying around and lazy, and you go to a strip club and you're sitting there and I feel like I'm looking at them the same way I would. Like, I know they don't like their job.
He's looking at them they're like he there. Looks at the hyena or the giraffe.
That's
you're
right.
looking at them weird.
What a sad animal.
That's horrible. Anyway.
I think I have friends who are strippers now. I feel different after knowing them. They look at us like we're the animals
right.
at the zoo.
That's
like,
what I was
oh, look
say.
At these
yeah.
fucking sad men.
I've never felt... You go to these places, it's supposed to be this sexual thing.
And well, I think
I've
so,
never,
yeah.
I've never
I'm
felt that way. I'm always much more interested.
Intrigued.
Like, why are you doing this?
There's
I'm
a lot
curious.
Of psych. There is a lot of psych major strippers.
100%.
Yeah. It's like therapy. It's like male therapy.
I guess. I'm
you know
just
what?
Interested
that's
in
what John
why
did in college, actually. He was. That's how he put himself through college.
Sure. Well, we don't talk about that.
That was a long time ago, Phil. Why you got to bring up all
right,
things?
That was before your Juggalo days.
I bet you that dudes who go to strippers regularly probably talk to that stripper about their troubles in their lives.
Of course.
More right. than they talk to their wife right. or any of their right. friends.
She I'm understands sure. me.
That's yeah. an interesting
she
point.
She understands me.
She cares.
I don't know what you're trying to say, Phil. You're trying to be a nice guy about it. You're
right, by comparing them to animals in the zoo.
Well, I'm also very cheap.
So,
I'm always very fiscally
minded.
So
that's why it's like the zoo.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're not actually giving any money
Phil
to the animals.
Phil goes to the strip
either.
Club with a bag of dried corn instead of single dollars.
He just pictures in his head the signs next to the stripper pole being like, do not tip the strippers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't. That's why I don't go to those clubs.
Your wife is such a lucky woman.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
That's what I tell her every day.
All right, let's talk about things that aren't set around Phil for one second.
Right, please. This is
going
right.
Let's talk about more World War IX products.
I want to talk so you know
this is going totally off the rails.
When we recorded our album, we were in the studio and I
Why
saw
Why are we talking about what?
Let him finish.
Yeah, if
oh, wait, is this eventually going to come around to me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay, just let okay, him finish. Okay. He'll talk about Thank you God. In a second.
Okay.
Well, we were recording our album. We were in the studio, and there was a stack of World War IX comics there.
Oh, nice. Which studio?
It was Jesse Cannon's studio.
Oh, the best. Yes. And we then, love recording with Jesse.
And then I saw you guys when you were recording this album. You, yep. had, you were Phil was standing next to the wooden stack in the studio. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, that wooden stack is falling on me. I know what studio they're
yep.
at.
Yep. Yeah, Jesse Cannon's studio, Cannon Sound Foundation, is the best.
The best.
I think it's Found Soundation.
Damn it. I knew I was getting it wrong.
Wrong. But it's impossible to say that name. Why would they do that to us?
I don't know.
Did you do
great.
That on purpose? Or?
No, I didn't. I thought I was getting it right.
But it was wrong.
I think it's Found Soundation.
It was by far our favorite place to record.
There. Did you record with Jesse or with Mike?
Jesse.
Oh, he wouldn't do that for us. He's
oh,
like,
really?
No, he has his mic. He's gonna record you guys, and then I'll mix it later.
I see.
So you guys had more clout than us.
Funny story about Jesse that
oh,
I
hold on, let
out.
Me stop the record. Let yeah. me stop this before you
no.
talk,
no,
Phil.
No, just
no, Jesse's a solid dude and knows all his shit, and here's why I respect him. When I asked for a microphone not on a stand, he gave me whichever one he has that, you know, is the best one that he thinks is for the job, and he told me that it's the one that the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers uses, you know, to shut me up and make me at ease. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. If you Google that guy, Anthony, what's his name?
Kiedis. Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. If you Google that and listen to like him singing without his backing track, it's terrible. So I have a lot of respect for Jesse because he said that.
Wait, but he let you use a handheld?
Yeah.
Mike refused to let me use a handheld. I was like, no, you can't do it.
Huh.
Why doesn't the sound engineer ever let me do what I want to do?
I don't know.
It's a great question.
Maybe he was just taking more care of me. He actually told me that it was so electrified that I would kill myself if I touched the microphone.
There you go. That'll do it.
Yeah. They tried to say that to Phil.
Yeah.
It would look like at Jesse's studio, it looks like a tank cannon. When you look at the mic that they want, like the condenser mic, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not touching that. Yeah, for sure. So that was an effective way to keep my hands off the mic. That was super smart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jesse Cannon's studio is amazing. There was a stack of comic books there, and I'm like, oh, World War IX, you guys distribute World War IX comic books to their, like, I don't know what that is.
That sounds about right.
I don't know how that got here. We've been using those in the bathroom.
It's like I don't know what that is. The old school going into the barber. I used to go to get my hair cut at this barber in Pennsylvania, and there'd be a stack of Penthouse magazines. Like, I'm going to get an erection waiting to get my fucking haircut. I'm going to get sexually aroused while I'm trying to get my haircut.
Jesus Christ, Justin. Have you ever read the fucking articles in there? This is really good.
Right. There's a lot of good political stuff in there.
A lot of good Keith Richards interviews in those magazines.
Totally. Those were the days.
Those
baby.
Comic book jokes where they're constantly degrading women in the penthouse. Yeah. It's really uplifting.
Right. Magnifique.
But no, Jesse, I drop off my comics whenever we record with Jesse.
No, it was cool. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I feel immediately comfortable. I know where I'm at. World War IX's here.
Good.
So I love that studio. That's a great studio.
Yep. Yeah.
Everyone should go get their albums recorded from Jesse Cannon.
Got to agree.
Yep.
Yeah. But let's talk about this new one, because I actually haven't. Actually, you guys haven't. Phil and John, you haven't even seen this comic book.
No.
This brand new one.
Yep.
On the table right here, right now.
Yep. And this is the first time that I've seen it, actually, is when Justin was kind enough and thoughtful enough to bring one for you, Joey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he did. Oh,
these aren't even. No, these aren't for us.
Oh, you guys don't have one.
No, yeah.
Oh, you guys. I literally have the first copy of this.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that sucks for you guys.
Totally
wow.
Does.
So you guys don't even.
We've seen it all before.
No, apparently you haven't, because you were just oogling this thing like, oh my god, what's it all about? And you were reading
it. This is the.
Wait, then why did you touch my comic book? Actually, I'd like a new one, please.
This is the unexpurgated, no holds barred World War IX bio comic.
Phil, can you tell Justin to cool it on the fucking big words here?
Yeah, we got expurgated.
Everybody just tune the fuck. It's what are you, a writer?
That's five syllables.
It is the untold story, the true story of the band, starting from that. The first issue is leading up to the formation of World War IX.
The first issue of the comic.
Yeah.
So this one is...
The one that I just gave you is issue number one of God knows how many issues.
Oh, this is a whole new series.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh.
Brand new one.
So Phil's not even in this one.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, this is great. This is a great one.
Right now, it's in the...
one the best of all the comic books so far.
If we were to make a biblical comparison, this would be considered BP before Phil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this one is about the lead up to forming World War IX.
What is your favorite scene in the comic book? Because we were talking about a couple of the scenes that John particularly liked earlier. What was your favorite scene, Justin, in this comic?
In this one. Staring.
I like that sound. Can you just make that sound a little? That's a good one. You guys know this is a fucking podcast, right?
one of my favorite scenes. There's so many. I don't know. one of my favorite scenes is my first band's first show. I'm giving myself a pep talk in the mirror, and that really did happen.
Did you really?
Yeah, I looked at myself in the mirror. It was like okay, we're gonna go on in about 5 minutes, and I had to take a leak because I was very nervous. I had nervous pee situation, so I would pee like five times before every show, and I still do that. And I gave myself a pep talk in the mirror, like, come on, man, you got this. You can do this.
Mm-hmm. Were you there, John? Mm-hmm. Were you at that?
I just know.
Yeah, and it was real. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I drew it, and I was like, yep, that's what it looked like. We had a show at the Kingsland Tavern. Was my first band's first show.
Wait, is that partially where the cover of the album is inspired by?
Yeah.
Because of this
yeah.
mirror.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I can draw people looking in a mirror. Okay. It works. So then I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got five tricks. That's one of them, drawing people in a mirror.
Do you do like fist pumps when you're looking at the mirror?
No.
Like...
No. It was...
That's me. I do the fist pumps.
I
saw do you?
I saw a singer. Oh, you know, he does the jerk back fist pump. I saw a singer of a major New York City hardcore band giving himself a pep talk in the mirror once, and it was much more violent.
Oh, no. Mine was
like
more
pounding
like,
the wall.
This was sadder.
Yeah, this was much more sad.
This one wasn't too happy. This was a sad one, too. Like, I can do better. I was like, okay. Sorry.
Excuse me. I just got to use the bathroom.
Lock the bathroom next time, buddy.
A couple years later, I ended up giving myself another pep talk in the mirror, which sounded something like this. Come on, man. You said you wanted to fucking do this. Now just fucking do it. Or, why am I doing this?
Like, what was that one?
That's the
for?
Point of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's your favorite scene. Because that's for you, that's like a great memory.
Yeah. Well, like, that's all this thing is. It's all. Oh, another one. Real quick.
Oh, wait. Actually, we only asked you for one. So. So. That's too bad that you didn't think of that one.
John, anyway, thank you.
John, maybe if we have time, Justin, maybe we'll come back to you.
Sure.
Because we're not going to be asking this question for
sure.
Phil, we'll skip you for now. John, what's your favorite scene in the comic book that you just looked at real quickly?
There's a great scene where Justin is at work and he's looking straight ahead and he has a tear. And he's like, listen, man, my band is falling apart over here. I may not be able to make it to the whole day or something like this. Like, he had to leave work. Oh, I may have to leave work early today.
Yeah, my first band, we kicked out our first drummer and I had a complete meltdown at work the next
day. And he's sort of staring ahead and one of his coworkers is like, pull yourself together, J-Dog.
Is that true? Did that really happen?
Yeah, everything.
Someone said pull it together? No one's ever said that to me.
Yeah.
Well, why would they need to?
Oh, yeah, no.
Because you're always together, Joey.
Together, dude.
Oh, would you like to get on the microphone there?
Nope.
I wish someone would say that. That's great. Yeah. Someone said pull it together.
Yeah, pull yourself together.
That's a good friend.
Yeah.
Or maybe a better friend would be like, oh, yeah, go take care of your problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, big problems.
Yeah,
there maybe was that no isn't problem. A good friend.
Yeah. Yeah, we found a replacement. I found a replacement at work in 10 minutes, so it wasn't, really a problem.
Right, the problem was a 30-second problem.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, I guess if we need to ask you, I guess we'll ask you. What's your favorite? Have you looked at it yet?
Nope.
How did Justin get to put this out without you looking at that?
Well,
first?
No, you saw the first 11 chapters online.
Yeah, I did. But you said that you were
didn't
putting
look at it.
Things online that weren't in the comic.
Yeah, there's only 11 chapters online, but there's 20 chapters in the book.
Mm.
Why does Phil have? Phil doesn't have to approve anything. That you write.
Nobody said approve.
Improve. Phil, how would you improve?
I said improve.
This?
Why don't you fucking
improve.
Listen?
Oh, geez. Fucking. You know, foil cover. Maybe put some holograms on it or
ooh,
something.
A foil cover. Yeah, I like that. You know,
die cut something or other.
That's cool.
Charge another $4 or $6 cover price.
Phil, you know? Were you going to
make even more money?
Were you going to give us your favorite scene, or you just want us to fucking jerk you off all day over here?
Now that's that. I like the second one better.
What is it?
Favorite scene.
What is it?
I haven't read it yet. My favorite scene is sitting there on a table in actual reality. I can look over and see it like it's a thing. That's my favorite scene. I'm staring at it now.
Well, Justin, now
that?
We have time for your other one because
okay,
Phil
so this
hasn't
is,
paid
this
attention.
Is, you're
this
out.
Is
you're good. Out. This is good because this goes out to anyone who's ever wanted to do something, and it's the moment before you start a big thing, all right? Like, we all have our projects, and we all have, whether it's creative stuff or job stuff, these things in your life where it looks like it's climbing a mountain, but you haven't even fucking left the cabin at the bottom of the hill, right?
Yeah.
So I was friends with this band that was this incredible band called The Chimps, okay? So The Chimps was the first band I knew that played music that was as good as anything I had in my record collection. But I was friends with these guys, and so we were hanging out. And I wasn't in a band yet. I barely knew how to play guitar.
How old were you at the time? Can I ask that?
Yeah, 20...
47.
20, no, I was 27. I was 27 years old. And so I'm hanging out with the bass player. This is the scene in the comic. I'm hanging out with the bass player at the Dog Run in Tompkins Square Park. And he starts talking about being in a band and how great it is. And I was very happy for him. But I was being eaten alive by my own, like, failed... You know, what am I trying to
ambitions.
Say?
Ambitions.
Failed ambitions. Right. Like
the Justin Melkman story.
Failed ambitions. and it was killing me because I was like, at some point you're just going to have to start this thing.
Right.
Right? Because I was dying inside because my good friends were in this amazing band. I didn't realize you could be just a regular person and be in an amazing band. So it was at that moment in the dog run at Tompkins Square Park where I was like, I just got to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. And people will always say that you can't do it.
Yeah, of course. People in my band said I couldn't do it.
Right, Phil.
No. In my first band, I got you're not wired for this. And I was like, okay.
Right.
And
then, they literally meant though your guitar was fucked up.
No, it
was. The pickups weren't working.
Right. And then somebody else in the band was like, just stop jumping around and figure out how to play the music. So yeah.
Justin, I feel like we should commiserate more over coffee and tea because I have had, there was in this band called The Will, and everybody in that band would constantly be like, maybe you should just like book the shows for us.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
wow.
All the time.
Damn, everybody, and you were the singer.
And carry the gear.
Yeah. Well, let you carry the gear too, buddy.
Yeah, because we had to keep it somewhere. Yeah, you know, and it just makes sense if we're keeping all of our gear at your place that you carry it all to the show.
Harsh. Harsh.
When I was 12 years old, I was like, I want to be in a band. Me and this kid were in middle school. And we're like, we're going to have a band. We're going to have a band. We started talking. This kid played guitar. We're like, yeah, we're having a band. And I got my lunch, and I walked down, and I sat at this table. And by the time I got to the table, some kid said, hey, you hear about John Kleinman's gay band? 30 seconds.
12 years old.
Right, 30 seconds.
Got a fucked up review.
Yeah, exactly. Already being discouraged.
Hey, any press is good press, bro. Everybody started talking about your band.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's exactly what I said to myself.
That's right.
I was crying in the bathroom.
Yeah. The forefront of punk, too, dude. You're all-inclusive. You were all-inclusive from day one.
100%.
That's great.
Was that unclusive?
Inclusive from day one.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I may have said unclusive, but yeah. Whatever. I'll cut that out. It'll be fine.
Right.
But you know what? You know what I love about that story, Justin? When you're telling that story, it doesn't even affect or faze you that you're like not proud of your friends talking about the great band that they're in. You're immediately like, I just wanted to fucking stab him.
No, I didn't want to take his band immediately. No. That's not it.
The violence was turned inward.
No, not outward. It's not that I wanted to take his band or stab him. I was just
jealous.
Racked with envy.
Yeah.
Like, racked.
But you didn't have any... I identify with it. I agree with it. I understand it and appreciate it endlessly. Because that's the main emotion that I feel constantly is pure jealousy.
Yeah.
But there is... when you tell the story, you weren't like, oh, you know, I was also like really happy for him that he was happy and
fuck
successful.
That. No way. No, I was. I was because the band was incredible. And they were probably playing 3 nights later and I went and danced my face off because they were amazing.
Oh, you just skipped over that for our benefit.
Well, no, that's in there too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but just sort of like going from, you know, being a fan to somebody who actually does it. You know, it's very easy to talk about things. It's very hard to make that initial leap.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah,
right. But then to keep doing it.
But then once you do it, it's totally worth it.
And then to find other people to do it with that are so good at it.
Yep. Always working with good people is the secret to World War IX's.
That's all I wanted to say.
Always looking.
Success.
You said working or looking?
Always working.
Oh, okay.
Always looking for good people.
If you're looking for any singer. I mean, I just think that moment is so terrifying
and awesome. Yep.
You're like, oh man, I could do everything. I'm going to do this and this and this.
But you have to do it.
You have to actually do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But why are people so terrified of that?
Because it takes work to do something. It's hard to do something.
But in that moment, all you're thinking of is the glory.
Right.
You're thinking of the work.
I'm thinking of the work.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready to be criticized.
Yeah.
By everyone.
By everyone at your lunch table, at least.
100%.
Yeah. Everyone at the lunch table.
Everyone at the lunch table.
That.
Hey.
All right. Well, let's talk about that moment in another capacity that's not War War IX. Sorry, Phil, you're going to be excluded from this conversation for a minute.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
Later,
let's
Phil.
Let's talk about the Jones Kings.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So here is that moment again. You're like, you know what? This War War IX thing is great and wonderful. I want to do something else, too.
Well, I've been thinking of the Jones Kings for probably 10 years because the Jones Kings
is... How is it different from World War IX?
It's different in that it is country, honky-tonk, covers played in the style of the Ramones. Because I can't play my guitar any other way, okay? So everything I want to do has to sound like the Ramones because that's all I can do. I'm like a washboard, okay? So what happened was I want every time I would listen to George Jones, who's my favorite country singer.
Really?
I would George is
George
man.
Jones.
The tagline of the band is George Jones as done by the Ramones. Yeah. It's mostly George Jones songs.
Oh, no kidding.
Originally, it was supposed to only be George Jones songs.
Like Jones like Kings.
Yeah.
Right.
Duh.
Right.
So what happened was I drunkenly texted Earl. Early Gates from Ray Grady's Morning Glory, The Vapors, World War IX, Regressives. They're playing tonight, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
So I drunkenly text Earl. So now we're gonna get now we're gonna do the my George Jones side project where every song is a George Jones cover played in the style of the Ramones. And he texts back, "Let's do it." And then 2 years later, we were drunkenly hanging out at Second Chance Saloon.
And he's like, I meant to text that to his girl at the time.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then we talked about really actually putting this thing together. And because Earl, speaking of that moment.
He does stuff,
right? Mm-hmm. So I talked about doing the Jones Kings for 10 years. But Earl was like, we're going to do it. Because
right.
Earl can actually sing and play guitar.
And he can record everything, too. Mm.
Yeah. So I would not probably have gotten the Jones Kings off the ground if Earl wasn't involved. And then John, hears about this idea.
Well, when we were, I knew very little about country music. God sucks.
Right. Every punk says
stupid.
Country sucks.
I like country music.
Right. Until they listen to it.
And then when we would be driving in the van, you know, in between shows, and it's all crazy. And then I'm hearing this amazing stuff, and I'm saying, what is all this? Is George Jones? And then I heard about this thing, and you know, in my tactful way, I was like, dude, this is gonna be a live band.
I'm in.
Gonna be the drummer.
Well, you weren't invited, so
yeah, I was not. I was totally not invited.
That's how Phil actually joined the Attitude Adjusters too, by the way. I don't know if you know the same way.
I'm in.
Yeah, I was in the hallway. Hey,
we were in the hallway at the old sweatshop, and I was like,
can you play guitar in this band?
That's not how it happened, Phil.
And I was like, I'd rather play drums. I'm learning how to play. And you're like, I guess.
Not how it happened. I was in the hallway. We were going to practice, and you're like, hey, what are you doing now? I'm like, we're doing this Motown band. And like, hey, can I play drums for it? I'm like, can you play drums? He's like, sort of. I'm like, okay, yeah, we don't have a drummer, so I guess you just invited yourself into that band.
Perfect.
Done and done.
So I'm sorry, I cut you off.
So no, John got wind of the idea, and who wouldn't want to be a piece of this?
Totally.
And you got Moose.
Oh yeah.
Well, Moose. I think Moose is like, how do you describe Moose? Just like
the easiest, most talented
like,
dude to work.
Oh, Moose is like God, person, yeah. Right? God is everywhere, and God is everything. Moose is God.
Mike Moosehead.
Yeah.
He is kind of
God is Moose. Moose is God.
We played some shows with him, and he actually plays all of our songs better than any of us.
Of course,
all
that's
of our
how
songs.
We feel.
Yeah,
that's fucking embarrassing.
I mean, about your songs.
World War IX. I was the only guitar player in World War IX for the first 10 years, and then Earl jumped in on second guitar for tour.
Thank
and
God.
Then it was very clear that we've been making a horrible mistake right. for 10 years with only having me on guitar.
I know.
And then Moose started playing, and you're like, oh, my God.
Jesus,
actually,
now we finally sound like a band.
Yep. Those are all the right notes. Yep. I had no idea those were the notes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Brian, our bass player, actually said, why does this song sound so much better when Moose plays it?
When he's playing bass? When Moose is playing bass or when he's
playing guitar? No, when he's playing guitar.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought Brian's like watching Moose play bass, and he's like,
man,
God,
why does
he's
sound so much
a lot better than me.
No. Brian said he's a lot better than I am.
Than you.
Yeah.
Very, very nice of him. Yeah.
Fine.
Really nice guy.
I have very little ego when it comes to this thing.
Right. He was in the bathroom talking to himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
So
himself up.
Where can we fucking get the Jones King stuff? Can
band
we get
camp?
Is there a band camp for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a new.
We have a new record.
There's a new record coming
John
out.
John doesn't even know.
No, there is. The first album was
just
it was
me
even
and Earl.
It was even pre Jones Kings. It was called Early and Justin, and the cover was
patterned after a George Jones Gene Pitney. George Jones and Gene Pitney put a series of records out in the mid '60s, and their album covers are hilarious and great. And so Earl and I mocked up a George Jones and Gene Pitney record cover.
I think that picture is great. I liked it.
Yeah,
good.
Yep.
So can we do? Jones King's Attitude Adjusters tour.
Sounds great.
I guess so.
Hold on. I got to go talk to myself
okay.
in the mirror.
Okay.
I got to go to the bathroom and look in the mirror.
That's as mean as Justin gets, actually, to your face. Justin just looked at Phil being like, I guess so. I guess.
I don't know. Can World War IX play too? Because I don't really like playing covers all the time. So.
Jesus.
What, yeah, but here's
the thing, Justin.
Everybody else likes the covers more than all of our
this
own.
This is exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Finally, a song I know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why World War IX doesn't play covers, because then the jig is up. Everyone's going to be like, ew, gross. Your originals are terrible.
Oh, stop. Sucks. Whatever. No one.
Play more Black Flag.
Here's the thing people don't know if you're not from New York. When you go to a World War IX show, everybody in the crowd is singing all. People who've never heard of you before, by the end of the song, they're all singing the songs with you.
There you go.
It's because the words are so simple.
There no, it's go. Because they think they can sing it better than the singer, mostly.
Mostly.
But they're singing along with
every
you.
Every show is an audition for a new singer.
It's true.
Phil just found that out.
And damn it.
And we haven't found anybody yet.
Actually,
yeah.
That's
I'm
not
going
true.
Strong.
Bar matchless, World War IX's playing a show. Phil gives the mic
that.
To someone else.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
He grabbed it back from him. That guy. And he's like, don't ever. We talked to everyone. He's like, yo, Phil, don't ever give your mic to someone else that could be better than you.
No.
Well, that guy tried out for the band. He's a great dude. But
Yeah.
No, I remember it as well. It was 5 minutes before we were going to play, maybe 10 minutes. And they're like, oh, hey, we thought we'd ask this guy to sing a song with you for one of the songs during the set. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, I was not, we what didn't talk about it ahead of time. I never met the guy. Right. I don't,
we're not going to get into names here, but
he was one of Danny's friends.
Yeah.
He did a good job. And then Phil, you and I talked afterwards and we both agreed that was the last time we were ever going to give the mic to anyone else in a set. We're like, all right, never lose control of the mic again.
Yeah. Yeah. That was silly.
Yeah. So there's a lesson for you fucking kids out there. Don't lose the mic. All right.
Yeah. And don't hire a second guitar player. Oh, shit. Oh. Yeah.
And don't miss practice. There's another one for you. Listen, Jones Kings, what's the Bandcamp page?
JonesKings.bandcamp.
Or you can also look for the Jones Kings new video on YouTube. Because
is that up?
I thought I saw Earl post it somewhere.
No.
No, he was working on it.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I saw some of the cinematography. Whoever shot and directed that really did a fantastic
job. See, here's the other good thing.
It was me. I was holding the camera.
We went on.
See, Phil's not complimenting anybody else. No.
We went on tour back in the spring with World War IX had 3 guitar players.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And long story short, Jones Kings was on tour with World War IX, but not on purpose.
Because we're all in the same band.
We're all in the same band. So we stopped off at Earl's dad's place in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Phil was kind enough to shoot the Jones Kings music video.
Not kind enough, talented enough.
Talented right. enough.
He was the only guy available.
Yeah.
That's the story of Phil's life right there, I think, actually. Yeah. So what about World War IX? Where can we get the World War IX tunes? You can buy the vinyl
from us.
No Room for Improvement. Where? Can we get them online?
Yeah, Bandcamp. Bandcamp is where our merch store is. So the comics are there. The t-shirts are there. We have glow-in-the-dark t-shirts. The record's there. The CDs are there.
My idea, by the way, the glow-in-the-dark shirts.
Great idea.
Welcome, everybody.
Yep.
They move great. Just hands the mic over being like, well, Phil wants to say, it's my idea for the fucking. Is it worldwar1x.bandcamp.com or is it WW?
It's World War IX.
Okay. So people, go get the fucking tunes, download them, buy the fucking album, get the comic book.
Keep your eyes out for the new video, Have You Seen My Drugs?
It's not been released yet.
Not yet.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
But no one else has.
No one else has.
Oh, so it's special on me again. Oh, yeah. I'm special again. Yo, I think this fucking video is amazing. I really loved it. How did you do the crane shots? Like, there was fucking, like, crane shots.
We had to hire a crane.
Drone.
Damn it. Were they really
Johnny
drones?
Johnny got a drone.
Yeah, Johnny had a
drone. Wow, that's fucking really sellout bullshit, you guys.
What?
Fucked up.
But we did it.
It was like 150 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah
right.
Yo, look at fancy World War IX with the drones. The power of the drones. Yeah. Fucking. Yeah.
And then we bombed a village in Iraq. What's the problem?
Drone life.
Yeah. There you go. Get World War IX's new album, Drone Life, out now. Yeah.
Isn't that one of your guys?
Yeah, get down. Yeah. Let's listen to another tune real quick. When I was on tour with the fellas in Choking Victim, we went to Mesa, Arizona. Beautiful town. Really love the town. Very, very nice town. I had a great time there. Really cool punk scene. They knew how to fucking throw down. I loved Mesa, Arizona. I couldn't believe how much I liked Mesa, Arizona. I think that's where we were. I don't actually remember. I'm pretty sure it was Mesa, Arizona. But when we were there, I met this dude and he's in a band called Bro Loaf, and he gave me a CD and the dude was awesome. First of all, he was a rad dude. What's up, bro? And his band is crazy and is a good time. And I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to play a tune on Dispatches from Broloaf. So here's a song from Broloaf's album. I think we're gonna play I Want to Party With You. I feel like that's a good song for this episode. This is a whole party vibe we got going on here. But I think World War IX, Hana Lee, and Broloaf would be a great fucking show. That show would be a blast. So, yeah, I would go to that show. I'd have a good time. I think it would be a good time. So here's Broloaf. Is exactly what you think it would be. It's very bro, and it's very loaf-esque. Loaf-esque. Loafish-esque. Yeah, Broloaf. Get down. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you all for getting down. A huge thank you to John, Justin, and Phil for getting down with me in the studio today. Had a really good time hanging out with those guys. I haven't seen them in a while, so it was really nice to catch up with them. And I'm glad we got to do it in a microphone, not only to entertain you, but it was entertaining for me as well. So I'm sure y'all dug it as much as I did. So thank you guys for coming over and doing the show with me today. Make sure you go to worldwar9.bandcamp.com, pick up the new album. You can order the vinyl on their page. I strongly suggest it. Hopefully you can also get the comic book with it. I don't know if that comes every time with it, so you should just look on the Bandcamp page and make sure you get the comic book too, because it's a blast. And I'm sure everyone who likes the music is going to want to know some backstory about the tunes as well. So thanks, fellas, for coming on the show and doing that. I'm going to do a little selfish plug for a second. First, I want to say, anyone who digs what we do here in the podcast, I know we slowed down a little bit, and we're going to be doing podcasts every other week. We're going to do shorter podcasts every week, but you can go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can subscribe there. You can check out what's going on. You can stay up to date all the time by going to that page. We also have a YouTube page that you can link to by going to our dispatchfromtheunderground.com page. We've been doing a lot more videos. We've been doing a lot more posts up there, so make sure you go to that and subscribe there as well. Pay attention to what we're doing over there. But we also have a donate button, so if you do have a couple of bucks and you dig what we do, I want to encourage you to go over there and make a donation. Help us keep this podcast going. Been involved with a lot of other projects lately, so anybody who digs what we're doing with Dispatches, I appreciate you going and putting some of that money where your ears are. So thank you very much for everyone who does that, and hopefully the rest of you can join them. But even if you don't have money, please go to iTunes and rate us. It helps out a lot. I know some folks have been hollering at me saying they can't get the ratings to work. I don't know what's going on with that, so if it's not working for you, please holler at iTunes and tell them to get their shit together and stop stifling all the fucking sweet underground shit that they have going on there and fucking letting whatever dumb podcast that everyone else is listening to get all their ratings together. So Fuck you. Well, I guess I shouldn't say fuck you, iTunes, because this is going to be on iTunes. So thank you, iTunes, but you got some problems. You got some bugs to work out. But please try to go there and rate the podcast. A couple other self-promotional things real quickly. All Torn Up also released our album, Social Immolation. You can get it at fortheloveofpunk.com. For the Love of Punk is an incredible label and website that's run out of Denver, and they have a ton of great punk information, not only about Denver, but across the country. And they're releasing records now, and they released our All Torn Up, new All Torn Up, a 7-inch. So super happy to be working with them. Love everyone over at that crew. And they got our great record over there. So if you want to buy it, go to fortheloveofpunk.com and pick up a new copy of our record. And we have a bunch of release shows that we're doing. If you're on the East Coast, we're doing a show. Oh, we did a show the other day. In New York City on January 14th that you fucked up and missed. We did a show in D.C. on the 21st. We went down and invaded Trump's inauguration and did a show protesting them. That was also our D.C. release show. And we have a show in Philly on the 28th of January. So depending on when this airs or when you hear this podcast, come out to the shows and pick up a copy. But if you can't get to a show on the East Coast, make sure you go to fortheloveofpunk.com and get a copy of the record. And I guess that's enough promotional shit. Hopefully you guys dig what we're doing, and we'll see you when we put up another one. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com to find the next episode. Till then, hope y'all dig it. Get down. All right, let's end this episode with another song from you guys' new album. What do you want to listen to? Anyone but Phil can answer this question right now. What do you guys want to listen to?
Thanks, Joey. I think for this song, because it's about me, I think it's appropriate that I introduce it. The song's called I'm Not My Problem. And the I'm not's in parentheses.
For comedic effect.
Right.
There's a lot of grammar involved in this album. I feel like that's confusing.
We're mostly a grammar band.
Yeah.
We're a white powder band.
Oh, geez. That's too close.
Two grams of white powder.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry, Phil. I'll cut all the white powder jokes out.
Is maybe, you know, it's cold outside. It's for chafing or something.
Yeah.
People chafe in the winter, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Not as much the summer, but, you know.
So
I'm not my problem. My guitar player is.
Right. Yeah. I'm not my problem is about being in your own way and how you have to sort of beat yourself up over it before you can move on and get back into your drug and
alcohol stupor.
I like your vocals on this song, Phil. I have to say, usually I don't.
Well, you're welcome.
But I really liked your vocals on this song.
Yeah, I think I did a really great job.
All right, here's World War IX. I'm not my problem. Although, should I just say my problem, and then I'm not is separate? How do you pronounce that?
However you want, man. You interpret the music however you think it feels right.
On the new album, No Room for Improvement, you can get it on worldwar9.bandcamp.com. Get down.
It may not be the first time I'm having second thoughts. They say the third time's a charm, but it's the fourth, so I give up. Not everyone could have done what I've done.
What he's done.
A face to face with myself, and I won. Swallow. Drink the solution.
I was.